When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Hey YA! From great new books to favorite classic reads, from news stories to the latest in on-screen adaptations, Hey YA is here to elevate the exciting world of young adult lit. Hey YA is a Book Riot podcast hosted by Erica Azafetti and me, Tirza Price, and we are recording this on October 6th, and I am happy to report that it finally feels like fall where I am. Hi, Erica. How are you?
Hi, Tirza. I'm so glad to hear that. It also feels like fall mostly where I am, because like I'm looking out the window as we record and the trees are like turning that like orange yellow color, the leaves. We still need to work on the temperature. The temperature yes. is literally hot and cold. we're getting that as we get that together. You know, I have faith that the temperature will get that together and bring in a truly fall feeling, because we had some days that were kind of like 75 and it was just a little too toasty to feel like true fall.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
That's good. Yeah, I actually had to go dig a sweater out of my closet this morning. I was so excited.
Nice.
So yeah, it was like 85 degrees earlier this week, but now it's cooled down nicely and I'm like, yes, I'm here for it.
85? Jeez.
I know. Global warming sucks, but
global warming really sucks. It does. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So, and I had to get flu and COVID shots today. So I'm just planning on like being really chill. It's going to be actually chilly this weekend and I'm going to like make a big pot of chili. I can't wait. That's a lot of chill in that work sentence.
But it all fits. Chili. Ooh. Do you do a meat chili or are you strictly bean?
Oh, I like to do like, you know, classic Midwestern beans and ground beef chili. I mean, I do like a good white chili as well with like chicken, but yeah, like comfort food. Mm.
Ooh, Midwest chili. That sounds good.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny. This is really random, but since we're on the topic of like fall and cozy things, when I moved to Iowa, everybody was always like, oh my gosh, do you know about like chili and cinnamon rolls? And I was like, I know that chili exists and I know that cinnamon rolls exist. But apparently, so if there's any like Iowan or I think even Nebraskan listeners here, apparently like chili and cinnamon rolls is like a thing that you eat like together, like not necessarily putting cinnamon rolls in your chili, but like eating them together is like a very like cozy, nostalgic thing for a lot of people in Iowa.
What?
Because I think, yeah, like in the 80s and the 90s, like that was like a school lunch that they would serve was like chili with cinnamon rolls. So everybody's always like, oh, it's a good chili and cinnamon roll type of weekend. And I was like, you know what? I'm not from Iowa, but this is something I can get behind.
You like the chili cinnamon roll combo?
I think it works well because I like my chili like a little bit spicy, and
yeah.
then like, you know, you get like the warmth of like a cinnamon roll as a little dessert. I think it works great. So if you need like a new fall favorite.
Do you like eat them at the same time, or you eat the cinnamon roll after you're done with your chili as a dessert?
I mean, I think that probably is up to different people. Like I personally eat that my like cinnamon roll is like a little dessert, but yeah, people feel very strongly about this, I learned, when I moved to Iowa. So that is one thing that I took from Iowa when I left was like, I like the idea of chili and cinnamon rolls together. So anyhow.
Wow. That is so interesting. I'm asking because I'm like, I'm so intrigued. This is such an interesting combination.
I know, right?
It sounds very comforting, though.
It is. Yeah. I've had it I've made it a couple of times at home and it is really comforting. So highly recommend if you're looking for a comforting Midwestern authentic sort of combination for your fall and winter.
Nice.
But anyhow, we've got a few news items for you before we dive into our topic, which is very seasonally appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And our first news item is a little bit sad. It is Echo Brown, who's a YA author. who wrote Black Girl Unlimited and The Chosen One, unfortunately has passed away. She was 39. So obviously her death was unexpected and premature and very sad. So I was just really sad to hear that. I have not read Black Girl Unlimited or The Chosen One, although they've been on my TBR. And Black Girl Unlimited was the William C. Morris Award finalist. Mm. But just so sad.
Yeah, super sad. 39 is ridiculous. And the books were really well received. So it's like, I feel like they were like autobiographical. It was like autobiography mixed with magical realism, and they detailed her life growing up like in poverty but then going to an Ivy League school. And I was speaking to you about this a little before we recorded, and I was just like, I can tell she had more books in her, you know detailing her life. So this is just super sad. It's a great loss.
YA has had a tremendous loss. But there's a link in the show notes to our article about it, Book Riot, and it includes a YouTube video of her performing one of her poems. So I think that is definitely worth checking out if you haven't read her books. Just kind of take a moment and remember her.
For sure. The other news we have is decidedly more happy, I guess, is the word.
Optimistic, maybe?
Optimistic is the better word. Thank you. I was getting there. I was like, it's happy, but it's like, it's good because of other bad things happening. Basically, libraries are coming to save the day. They're fighting book bans. So two California library systems have joined the Books Unbanned program. The Books Unbanned program was started by Brooklyn Library in 2021 as a way to counteract book bans across the country. And each library has their own criteria for who can get their Books Unbanned card. In general, the cards are digital and therefore, well, I think the LA Library, it's like for anyone within California, just 13 to 18, I believe, actually. And you can check out any book, especially, you know, that gives access to banned books. And the other libraries, the San Diego Library joined, but there's also Brooklyn Library, like I said, Seattle Library and Boston Public Library are also part of the initiative. And I think with those libraries, you have to be like, I think it's like anyone 13 to 26. Different ones have different ages, but it's the same thing. Like they give you a library card, and you can check out basically anything from their digital collection, ebooks, audiobooks, basically. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is awesome, especially if you are a young person who has been affected by censorship or soft censorship in your, you know, home libraries. Definitely check those out. We have links in the show notes, so hopefully you can get some great books. And then the New York Public Library has also launched a nationwide teen banned book club, which is pretty, I mean, it's not cool that there has to be a banned book club, but it is pretty cool. It's basically anyone 13 and up across the country can download the featured book for free using an app called Simply E. And all of the books have been banned or challenged. And the first one is Each of Us, a Desert by Mark Oshiro. So there is, again, a link to that in the show notes. Definitely check that out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And before we move on, let's hear from our first sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy. Robbie and Trevor Cressmont have enough wealth to ensure they'll never be found guilty of any wrongdoing, even if everyone believes they're behind the deaths of their ex-girlfriends. Let us all take a collective angry sigh at that. Lauren O'Brien, the new girl at school, has a dark past of her own, and she's desperate for a fresh start. Except when she starts a relationship with Robbie, her chance is put in jeopardy. During what's meant to be their last weekend together, Lauren stumbles across evidence that might just implicate Robbie. And after a third death rocks the town, she must decide whether to end things with Robbie or risk becoming another cautionary tale. This is an edge-of-your-seat YA thriller that's perfect for fans of Karen McManus and Holly Jackson. Make sure you pick that up now wherever books are sold. And thank you once again to The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy for sponsoring today's show.
Today's episode is brought to you by Gallery Books. So Anna Green thought she was marrying Liam West for access to subsidized family housing while at UCLA, which is an interesting reason to marry someone, but you know, in this economy. So anyway, she signed divorce papers when the graduation caps were tossed, and she thought she was done. She wasn't. 3 years later, Anna is a starving artist living paycheck to paycheck while West is a Stanford professor. Now, he is part of a conglomerate. His family owns this mega grocery store chain. He's not interested in working for them, but he is interested in those greenbacks, honey, that come in the form of a $100 million inheritance. To get it, he has to be married for 5 years. That's where our girl Anna comes back into play. So the two will fake a marriage, but as he gets to know her and gets to appreciate the feisty, foul-mouthed, paint-splattered girl that she is, he'll begin to wonder if the money is worth the love of his life. Pick up The Paradise Problem by Christina Lauren to find out if it is. And thanks again to Gallery Books for sponsoring this episode.
Okie doke. So autumn is here. It's time to curl up with a great read and get cozy, whatever your version of cozy looks like, whether it's, you know, chili and cinnamon rolls or romance, creepy reads, modern classics, or escapist reads that you crave. And TBR can help you find the perfect books for your fall reading with options curated to your specific reading tastes. So you can visit mytbr.co to find out more and sign up. It only takes a few minutes, and that's mytbr.co. Oh, okie doke.
So what's interesting with that, you and I have both worked as TBR bibliologists. So I was just going to say, like, just to make it more, like, familiar, like, we've actually, it's like a real person that looks at your likes and dislikes and, like.
Yes, real readers. We do not use AI or robots or gremlins or whatever else. Like, we're real power readers helping you find books.
I think we should use book gremlins, though. I might be half gremlin. Let's be real.
Yeah,
I mean, might be half gremlin.
I think that is possible. I feel the same way. So, but yeah. So if you want us to recommend you books, you can do that. It's fun. If you want us to recommend you books just right now, we are going to do that. We are really excited because we wanted to talk about, like, graphic novels, but particularly spooky sort of October seasonal graphic novels. And there are so many great ones, aren't there, Erica?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for real.
It was hard actually to, like, I think, narrow it down because there were so many great ones.
Yeah.
But really excited about our list and our lineup here. So I don't know. Do you want to kick us off?
Yes, I will. My first one is Coven by Jennifer Dugan, illustrated by Kit Seaton. And this is about Imzy. She is like a senior in high school, right? So she has a girlfriend. She lives in California with her parents. And she's just like a surfer girly. Like, she wants to go hang out at the beach with her friends, with her girlfriend, boom, 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 la, 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 like that, right? But she's also an elemental fire witch, and which is gorgeously illustrated on the cover. Thing is, though, and this is totally not like, I'm like, girl, I could not get with that. If I was an elemental witch, honey, I would be so into it. She doesn't like her witchy powers. She just, like, she uses them for, like, parlor tricks, like setting a candle, wick aflame, that type of stuff. Like, she's super not into the witchy world. And her parents belong to a coven back in New York. And she doesn't feel connected to the coven. She's just, like, not for that witchy stuff, right? So one day, her parents tell her that they are moving back to New York. I should say that a scene that precedes this in the graphic novel, there is this young person who runs through the woods and runs to the door of this kind of like big, like old looking house. And there's like blood on them and they have this little kitten in their arms that they're like clutching to for dear life. And then they, like, collapse into the people who answer the door. They collapse into their arms or whatever. So it's, like, very ominous start. So then fast forward to her parents telling her that they are all moving back to New York. She's like, okay, so why do I have to leave my life here, my girlfriend and my friends, this California life that I love? Why do I have to leave and go to your stupid coven? I don't even know those people. I don't have a connection to them. I don't care about this witch stuff. Like, whatever. Her parents are like, something bad, really bad happened. Basically, an entire family within the coven was killed, like, very brutally. And so they think that someone is back killing witches, and they need the protection of their coven, because in California, they're kind of just out there by themselves, her, you know, mom, her dad, and her. And so they're like, we gotta not only go back to figure out what happened to our fellow coven members, but we have to fall back into the protection of the coven too, because we might be vulnerable out here by ourselves. I think she was a little rude. Some of her, she was telling her parents to stop talking, and so I'm like, oh, it couldn't have been me. But sis was a little rude. But she goes there and she meets the coven. What's interesting about the coven is they're not all, well, you know, coven rules differ depending on the book, the story you're reading. But it's people from like different races, different ethnicities and stuff. And they call it kind of all live in one big house for the most part. Although the people who were killed, they lived outside of the house, but they are in New York. Turns out there was one survivor, and he survived, but the rest of his family died. And he is like understandably upset, and he is not open to her, and he is just like, you know, all he could save was his sister's kitten. He was the person in the beginning who wound up on the doorstep covered in blood and stuff. So basically, she starts going to this new high school. Immediately, this really handsome guy, Ash, comes up and she's like, yo, I have a girlfriend, back off. And he's like, oh, it's kind of like a little flirty, a little like, oh, if you've seen Leigh Bardugo's show on Netflix, what's that called?
Oh, yeah, Shadow and Bone.
Yeah. He's kind of giving Jasper? That's the one with the guns, right?
Jasper, yes.
Yeah, very much Jasper vibes, like skin tone, height, handsome, kind of slick talking, whatever, like very like, ooh, I'm intrigued. So very much Jasper vibes. But anyway, so she finds out he's part of her coven, actually. And so she slowly warms up to the guy, and together they start to find out what happened to his family. So she meets some other friends in high school, and the other people in the high school kind of look at Ash and the other kid kind of weirdly, because there are these like rumors surrounding them that they worship the devil and stuff like that. So it's a cool, like, there's elemental magic, there's death magic, there's healing magic. There might be a death witch roaming around, which was outlawed years ago because they're so dangerous. So we just have to figure out, like, what happened. Was it a rival coven? Are the coven wars starting again? Or the witch wars, I should say, because there were some witch wars a few years ago. We just got to figure it out, basically. MZ is, like, having to adapt to this new school. She's acting differently according to her girlfriend. They're trying to make the long distance thing work. So it's just a whole bunch of different things. The artwork is beautiful. I was greatly entertained by it. But it made me think of a question I wanted to ask you, Tirza.
Yes.
So we both like witchy stories, obviously.
Yes.
So, okay, depending on the book, on the story you're reading, there are different rules to the magic. There are different kind of witches depending, right? So you got elemental, yes, death, la, 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 different kind of thing. So I have a two-part question for you. One, what kind of, if you lived in any of these magical worlds, what kind of magic do you think you would have? Like, what kind of witch would you be? And then two, what kind of magic would you actually want to have? Like, do you think you would have the magic you wanted?
Oh, that's a good question. As much as I think that I would be like, oh, it'd be so cool to be like all cool and you know, kick butt with my like elemental fire magic. Honestly, mm-hmm. I don't like fighting, and I don't like I like danger. If I had magic, I would be like growing a really cool garden and like using it to like make the best food. And like, if I could have like a magic power that like made everything that I cooked or baked taste amazing, or like always brew the perfect cup of tea, like, oh yeah, I would be all over like the very domestic, cozy stuff. Nice. So I think that would be kind of like what my powers would be. How about you?
Nice. I love that. Oh, that fits the show also. I feel like I would want an elemental magic as well, like fire, but then I'd also want to be like healing. So I'd want like, I'd be doing too much, like what I would want. But I think I probably would be like a water, like I can control water or something. Cause water.
That'd be cool.
I can be confrontational. but I try not to be, but I like go with the flow, a little on the nose. Like I adapt depending on the, environment I'm in, but I probably want something like fire, but I, you know what I mean? Like
water can be powerful.
That's what I'm saying. Water could be helpful. It could also be like damaging. And I think that describes me well. I don't know that I would, I probably want something else, but I'm like, that probably would be me, honestly. So yes. I love your magical world power is cute though and greatly needed. It sounds very healing.
Yes. I think that's totally my vibe and I will own it.
Yes. I love it. But yes. So that is Coven by Jennifer Dugan, illustrated by Kit Seaton. Very cute. Loved the artwork. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have a copy. It's sitting like within reach of me and I have yet to start it, but I will have to pick it up this season because it seems like the perfect book for October.
Absolutely.
And it's a graphic novel, so it's short. So perfect. All right. My next pick, which is also one about witchcraft, is Mooncakes by Suzanne Walker and Wendy Hsu. And it is really, it's like a nice balance of like the danger and the excitement, but also like the sweetness of like first love and like the coziness of magic. So it is about Nova. She is a teen witch. She lives with her grandmothers. They run this bookshop that's kind of like this front for like magical spells and enchantments. And at night, Nova works at the shop during the day. At night, she likes to investigate supernatural things that happen in their town. And one night, she is in the woods. She's following a lead on something that somebody told her about. And she comes across this really unexpected thing, a horse demon battling a werewolf. And she's like, okay, this is a little weird. This is not what I expected. And she discovers that the werewolf is her childhood crush, Tam. And Tam, she has not seen Tam in years because they left town kind of abruptly without notice and without, a forwarding address. And so this is the first time that Nova has seen them in ages. And she discovers that Tam has been cursed. And basically, they have a ticking clock to kind of figure out this curse. And if they can't figure it out, bad things will happen. And Nova's like, of course I will help you. Like, I'm not going to leave you out in the cold. And so she and her grandmothers give Tam shelter. And as they're trying to figure out a way to break the curse, Tam and Nova are also falling in love. So it is really, it's a sweet book, but it also has like sort of the high stakes and the danger and the magic and the excitement. The cover is super adorable. I really enjoyed this one. In fact, I borrowed it from the library. So every year I think like, I've got to get a copy of my own just to have on my shelf because this is like one of those ones that I would like to go back to. So that is Mooncakes by Suzanne Walker and Wendy Hsu.
That is such a perfectly cozy, like even with the, I mean, like you said, there is some spookiness to it. But like even like the color scheme of it, it's just like very autumn, very autumnal.
Yes, it's totally autumnal. And one of my favorite books that I have read for this season.
I love it. Whew. Okay, so I have another great graphic novel, but let's hear from our sponsor real quick.
Today's episode is brought to you by Avid Reader Press. So this next book is a really fun sounding mashup of different genres. There's a little time travel, a little romance, a little spy thriller action going on. So in the near future, a civil servant is offered the salary of her dreams and is shortly afterward told what project she'll be working on. A recently established government ministry is gathering quote unquote expats from across history to establish whether time travel is feasible for the body, but also for the fabric of space-time. This is an exquisitely original and feverishly fun fusion of genres and ideas. The Ministry of Time by Colleen Bradley asks, what does it mean to defy history when history is living in your house? Colleen Bradley's answer is a blazing, unforgettable testament to what we owe each other in a changing world. It kind of gives Outlander meets Cloud Atlas, or If the Time Traveler's Wife was written by Sally Rooney or Colson Whitehead. Make sure to check out The Ministry of Time by Colleen Bradley. And thanks again to Avid Reader Press for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang. So this is an interesting love story. It's great for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow and High Fidelity. It's set in the mid-90s at NYU. And it follows young Wang, who has gotten the advice of love through Chinese numerology from his uncle. So he believes that he will have seven great loves in his life. And then he meets Irena in 95. And she's like the best. She's brilliant, charismatic, quick-witted, funny. They fall in love. But the thing is, she's number six. So if he is to have seven great loves, does that mean his time with Irena is going to come to an end? So this is a love letter to Western pop culture, Eastern traditions, and being a first-generation New Yorker. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang, for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so the next one I have is Brooms by Jasmine Walls, illustrated by Teo Duval. And if you listened, what is time? A couple episodes ago, we did an episode on indie publishers. And this one is published by Levine Garrido. So that was one of the indie YA publishers that we discussed. So this is a new one by them. And so this has such an interesting, I think, unique premise. So again, witches. I already told y'all, like, three out of four of my choices are witches. I like what I like. I am what I am. So this one takes place in 1930s Mississippi. And we open up to this indigenous woman teaching these two younger kids magic. They're like fledgling. They have fledgling powers. They're like trying to lift like potatoes and simple stuff like that. They're a little frustrated. One of them is deaf and she signs. And we're basically like dropped right into this magical world. And so then we learn that magic exists, obviously, but basically only white people can practice magic freely. And indigenous people, Choctaw in the case of our protagonist, indigenous people can practice magic, but only if you pay buku dollars for an exemption. And then black people can't practice it at all, even though they have magic, right? So Luella, the Choctaw lady who was teaching the kids in the beginning, she's discussing with the rest of her family members. She's like, all right, those were her little cousins that she was teaching. So she's like, all right, so we can't get this money for them to get these exemptions, but the government is sending around agents to see who in their, like, who is magic, like who has developed magic. And if they find out that her cousin's come away to residential schools. So right there, we see that a lot of this mirrors what really happened in real life. So Luella, when she was a child, she got taken away to the residential school and it was really terrible. They like sealed away her magic and it was just like an awful, traumatizing experience. So she wants to stop that from happening to her cousins at all costs. So she suggests they enter these illegal broom racing competitions,
which is just as cool as it sounds.
It's so cool. So Luella's like, listen, let's get some money from these competitions because we can't let this happen to these girls. And then, you know, her elders are like, okay, but those are really illegal. And if they find you, if they find out the girls are involved, residential schools will be the least of their worries. Like, they could kill them, they could incarcerate them, take their magic away, different things, right? They're like, are you sure this is safe for them? And she's like, yes, the people who I race for, the people who I know and within that world, I trust with my life, basically. So she brings the girls to there just to see like how comfortable they felt with it. And she's introduced to her little boo things team. Ow, ow. Billie Mae. Billie Mae and her got a little something going on. You know what I mean? And Billie Mae is the head of, I forgot the name of their team, but basically racing teams have groups of three. You got like the lead, the second, and then like the defender or whatever. So Billie Mae is the lead. That's Luella's little booski. And Billie Mae's black. And then you have another character, Loretta, who's black. And then you have the second in command of their team, their racing team. And she is Asian. So you have a very like good mix of people. And it's funny, like when we talk about diversity and this type of thing, like queer people, disabled people, people of different races and ethnicities, like we, you know, Book Riot, we know we celebrate that and we highlight it and we look for it. But it's funny because it's like, it's just mirroring real life.
Yep.
But it's like, you know, well, you know why we can't. You know why we highlight it, because oftentimes in the past, books didn't have that. But I'm only shouting that out because it feels natural to me when I see it. Anyway, so the races are illegal. So they have to be really careful. They have to change locations. They have to be on the lookout for the cops, 5-0, you know, and there is this team that's racing from a school, like a university, I believe, and it's a group of three white dudes. And the thing is, Mississippi, they can sabotage something, and people are sore losers when they lose the races because there's money on the line, also pride, obviously. But so the girls are learning their magic. They're gonna try to enter into these races and drum up some money. So I won't tell you what happens. You gotta get it. But it's really cool. The artwork, again, is beautiful. I love the color palette. I need a better way to describe graphic novel art rather than just saying it's pretty. I need adjectives. I'm gonna, that's a personal goal for myself. How would I describe this color palette?
Like, it's colorful. It very much evokes like the 1930s feel. The magic is fun. The characters are playful. Like, I read like the first, like probably about 50 pages. That's about as far as I got before we had to sit down to record. I'm really enjoying it though. It's so great.
It is.
Definitely recommend it as well.
I highly recommend.
Yes.
Yes. So that, again, is Brooms by Jasmine Walls and Teo Duvall.
Awesome. All right, my next pick is a little bit of a departure. If you are like, I don't like supernatural, I don't like spooky things, then you will love this book. It is called Pumpkinheads by Rainbow Rowell and Faith Erin Hicks. And this is like, I don't often think like, oh my gosh, this book is so good, I wish I had written it. But like, this book for me was like just so good and so like absolutely my vibe and what I love that I do kind of was like, oh, I was kind of like when I first read it, like, man, I wish I had written this book. It's so good, which is very much a compliment. Pumpkinhead. So it is about Josiah and Deja. They are work best friends. They work at like the epic Disneyland of pumpkin patches. And every fall they have been like work partners and they have a booth at this just epic pumpkin patch where it's like not only coming to see pumpkins, but you've got multiple stalls and, you know, diversions and attractions and all sorts of fun stuff. And so they are now seniors. They've worked together only in the fall for like the last 4 years. And it is the final night of the pumpkin patch. It's Halloween night. And, you know, they're not going to work together next fall because next fall they'll be presumably off at college. And so they, you know, Josiah is very much by the books, rule follower. He's going to be like, oh, we're just going to have a regular last night. And Deja is like, This is our last night. We are totally ditching our responsibilities, and we are going to get you to the girl that you've been crushing on for the last 4 years, and you're finally going to admit how you feel about her. And Josiah's like, what? And Deja's like, yep, let's go. And so it's kind of like this hilarious, epic, madcap rush across this giant pumpkin patch. And it's full of like misconnections and near misses and like all these hilarious little antics as they're trying to get Josiah to the girl. So he can confess his feelings. And Deja is such like a great, you know, wing woman. She's always like, yep, let's go. But her one thing is that she has to stop for all the good snacks because she appreciates the pumpkin patch food, which I appreciate about her. And so it's just this like lovely story about like what they have to do in a night to finally, you know, be brave and kind of confess feelings, but also they kind of have to confront how they feel about each other and their own friendship and the fact that, like, they're only fall-time friends and this is coming to an end and why can't they be, you know, friends year-round? So I really enjoyed it. And the colors were very, like, oranges and blues and greens and it felt so autumnal and so cozy, and it made me want to go to a pumpkin patch. So that is Pumpkinheads by Rainbow Rowell and Faith Erin Hicks.
Adorable. So the next one I have is Over My Dead Body by Sweeney Boo. And again, it's witches all day, every day. this one definitely has more of a, I'm actually literally like flipping through it to like look and see like, so the color palette kind of changes depending on like the mood of the page, but in general the color scheme is very autumnal as well, and it's beautifully illustrated. The limes are crisp and the colors are bright and rich. And so basically it takes place at a magical school. So it's kind of like a little dark academia too. Just checking all the boxes, basically. So there is, what is the school called? Yunwitty. All right. So Yunwitty's Institute of Magic. You have the main character, Abby, who is a mentor to Noreen. Abby and Noreen both have the surname Yunwitty because they were foundlings or orphans and basically adopted by the school's coven. So Abby's like a senior and, you know, she helps out, just like mentors Noreen. Low-key, Noreen is like a sister because she doesn't have any family. So this one too, noticing a pattern. This one too, when you first start it, it shows this girl at this like ritual circle and she's tied up and she's like begging for her life basically. And there's a person, I'm assuming it's a person, or we don't know who it is. Someone is speaking to her off page. You can't see them. So they're like casting a spell or something. And the girl is like, please let me go. I won't tell anyone. Like, you know, this, we can forget about all this. It doesn't have to be like this. Basically pleading for her life, right? So as they continue to cast a spell, then there is this like ghoulish hand that reaches and touches the girl's shoulder. And then the girl like kind of falls to the ground and stuff comes out of her eyes and mouth. Very creepy, very ominous. So boom, next day we meet Abby. And oh, I should say also like the queen bee of the school, we see her telling these kids at lunch. She's also a senior and she's Abby's roommate. We see her telling these other kids about how the woods are cursed. There's a demon that lives there. That's why the students cannot go into the woods. And the years ago, like 100 years ago, there's this girl named Carla who went into the woods. She was a foundling or an orphan as well. And she disappeared, never to be seen again. The demon in the woods or whatever it is, the entity likes to get orphans. So the kids, they're like, oh my God, is this true? The other kid is like, she's just trying to scare you. But boom. So then we meet Abby finally. I mentioned Abby at first because I'm like, she's the main character, but I was like, let me go back to the beginning and set everything up. So there's a big event at school. Abby is running late, story of her life. And then she finds out at the school gathering, the headmistress announced that Noreen, Abby's mentee, has gone missing. And based on the evidence their magic was able to gather, she disappeared into the woods. And everyone's like, oh, you know, whisper, whisper, gossip, gossip, like, what happened to Noreen? So headmistress is like, don't worry about it. We'll find her. The coven will find her. We are not concerned about things. We think we'll find her safely. So the Samhain festival and events will continue because that is a big holiday for them because they're witches, obviously. Abby is like, I don't believe this. This is not enough. We have to go find her. So her and her bestie, Goldie, and her mentee's friend, they're like, okay, so we're going to, they basically team up to go find Noreen. And to do so, they have to sneak to the library, pass curfew, and get different spell books to try to figure out, like, find Noreen. You know, try to defend themselves, try to cover their track so no one knows that they're missing. Because again, there's a curfew and also there is, you're just not supposed to go into the woods, period. So there's this mystery. What happened to Noreen? Will she come back? Did she live? What's going on? Who or what took her? And also, once Abby and her friends start investigating ways to get Noreen back, as Abby is going back to her room, past curfew at night, I might add, she gets swarmed by the school's ghosts who tell her that, like, there is this secret that needs to be revealed. So it's like, is that related to Noreen? What's going on? Another thing I liked about this book is that everyone has a familiar. So all these witches have all these different little animals. Abby, what are those hairless cats called?
Oh, I don't know. They're kind of creaky looking, but
I think they're called sphinxes, actually.
Oh, the sphinx cats. Yeah, I think you're right. I hear that they're good.
Yeah. So his name is Simon, if I recall correctly. He's a little sassy. He kind of has like a little anxiety or whatever. He's like, don't do this. The head queen bee girl, she has a raccoon. So it's just like all these cute little, yeah. And there was one panel, just this panel that made me like key. It's like when Abby is sneaking around with her friends, trying to figure stuff out, you know, she's past curfew and she's roommates with the queen bee girl. And there's just one panel of like, of the raccoon looking through a doorway in darkness. It's so funny to me. I don't know why. Cause she sent her familiar to spy on them. But yeah, so there's, again, beautiful art, like I always say. They're like rich jewel tones. There's a mystery. There's magic, dark academia. It's all very good, witchy, and autumnal. And this, again, is Over My Dead Body by Sweeney Boo.
Awesome. All right. My next pick is also supernatural, paranormal, but not witches. It is Squad by Maggie Tokuda Hall and Lisa Sterl. And it is about Becca, who has just recently moved to a new school. I believe it's like the suburbs of like the Bay Area, San Francisco. And she does not feel at home there. She feels really out of place. And she feels kind of like, as she's walked into like a mean girl situation where like they're the most popular girls in school. They're kind of known as the squad. There are three of them. They're like outstandingly gorgeous and beautiful and everybody loves them. And curiously, they kind of take a liking to her and they're like, oh, you want to kind of like join our squad? And she's like, oh, cool. It's nice to make friends and it's nice to make popular friends. And so she joins. But what she doesn't realize at first is that they're werewolves. They're totally werewolves. And they want her to join them because they need a fourth person to fill out their squad. And Becca's kind of like, sure, why not? And so, because like they're werewolves with morals. They only hunt at the full moon and they only eat boys who are like, you know, low-key sexual predators, or like the guys who like, you know, push girls when they say no, or guys who don't take no for an answer, or guys who just sometimes step over a line and, you know, are not, like, there's no qualms about them being slimy. Like, everybody knows. They're like the date rapists. So, you know, Becca doesn't feel too bad eating them because they're bad. And she actually enjoys being a werewolf. She's like gorgeous and strong and she feels awesome and she's popular. But things get complicated when there is a pattern sort of linked to the boys that they are preying on, and it could possibly link the authorities back to them. So I don't want to say too much because I really enjoyed reading this, not kind of knowing where it was going to go, but it's really interesting take on like rape culture and also like the idea of like vigilante justice and like how far you're willing to go, and also how like it's not always really straight cut or easy or just, you know, straightforward justify what you do and why you do it. And there's some nuance there. And I really appreciate that the author and illustrator went there with the nuance. So this is kind of a brutal book. I mean, it's not like horrifically violent on the page, but at the same time, like the author and illustrator don't shy away from the reality that like these girls turn into werewolves and then they hunt, you know, certain boys, and they lure them out so that it's easier for them to get. And that kind of is, you know, a little bit brutal. So I would say for upper teens, if you're like a little uncertain about handing this to younger teens, but it is young adult and it is really fantastic. It is Squad by Maggie Tokuda Hall and Lisa Sterl. And oh, the colors. I really like the colors. They kind of reminded me a bit of like the 80s because there's a lot of neon and there's like a lot of bright colors and like a lot of like pinks with like yellows and oranges and like purples. Is really great.
I have a copy. I literally just leafed through it. I haven't finished it yet. But it definitely gives like 80s Barbie low-key and like kind of like the Archie style of comics, like the artwork.
Yes.
Yes. I love it. I love the artwork. So my last graphic novel is a total departure from the other ones that I have. And it's a pretty short, like, description-wise, what I would describe of it is pretty brief. So it is Laid Back Camp by Afro. It is manga. And it is about these high school girls who camp. And they like to camp. Well, and they're in Japan, I should say. I said it was a manga, but I don't think I specified that it was takes place in Japan at these Japanese camping sites that are in these really pretty locations. So Rin likes to camp off season, like I said. She meets this other girl who is kind of like, she like just moved to the area. She lost her phone. She can't contact her parents and she looks like younger than Rin is, but Rin helps her out by sharing some food with her and stuff like that. And so this is what you call a slice of life kind of story. It's part of the slice of life genre, which is where it's just like you have these characters, it's very chill, and they're basically just going about their days doing life things. I kind of just realized that I really love this genre for anime and manga and other graphic novels. It's really, really relaxing to read slice of life graphic novels. And so this one is about these girls going camping in the cold, like colder months, like autumn and winter and stuff like that. And it kind of almost teaches you about camping, like the different things you have to do, how to start a fire, what kind of pine cones to look for a fire. And it's just like really relaxing and cute. And like the scenery is cute. It's nice. So again, that's Laid Back Camp by Afro.
Awesome. I had never heard of that one. So thank you for telling me about it.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
My final pick is a ghost story. So it is Anya's Ghost by Vera Broskell. And it is the story of Anya, who is not happy at school. Her mother immigrated to the U.S. when she was a small child, and she did as well. And people make fun of her because she's different. She's Russian American. And yeah, she just gets bullied a lot. She's not happy. She doesn't have a single friend. She's coming home from school one day and she takes a shortcut to avoid some bullies. And she ends up falling into the bottom of a well, which is not good, obviously. And while she's down there, she surprisingly meets a ghost. And her ghost is like, oh, hey, wow, I've been down here for so long. Like, it's nice to finally, like, meet somebody. And they start talking. And she's, you know, weirdly not super afraid of this ghost. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'll help you get out of the bottom of this well. This stinks. And she's like, oh, thanks. I'll be your friend forever. And so she helps her out of the well, and she's got her ghost, and she's like, oh, I have a friend. Like, finally, like, it's so great to have a friend. And her ghost is kind of a stinker. Like, she's messing with the bullies, and she's kind of helping her out and saving her. And Anya's like, this is cool. I like this. But then things start to take a sinister turn. Mm. And Anya's like, oh, maybe having a ghost isn't so cool after all.
Lies. And I don't believe it.
Leave it at that, right?
It sounds cool. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I would like a ghost as long as they don't do the things that happen in Anya's ghost. Okay, fair. So, yes. But I really like it because it's got a good balance of, like, humor, but also it's pretty, like, foreboding. And even the color scheme really reflects that. It's, like, a lot of grays and, like, dark purples. Mm. And, yeah, it's really great. It kind of captures, like, that dreary fall sort of feeling. But also it's this good story about, you know, somebody who's lonely and who wants a friend. But also, you know, sometimes that's not... The person that you befriend is maybe not always a good person either. So I will, like I said, I will leave it at that. But I really enjoyed it. I read this for the first time like years ago, and it was really great. And obviously, it's really stuck out in my brain. And I think I've reread it a couple of times since then. I recommend it. I think it's fun. And it's like one of those really quick ones you could read in an afternoon. So that is Anya's Ghost by Vera Broskal.
Nice. Oh, I've got some books to finish, some books to add to my TBR with these recommendations.
Yeah.
Before we close out for the day, I did want to share this really cute game that I found out about literally like last night. And it's for the Nintendo Switch, although it might be available on other platforms, but I'm not sure.
I think it's available on the Steam Deck and Steam. So if you do PC gaming, yes.
Yes. I have a Switch, so that's why I was like, a Switch. But yeah, a lot of games are also available because it's digital, so that makes sense. So it's called This Way Madness Lies. It is a JRPG comedy, and it stars a group of magical girls. And I was like gagging when I saw this. I was like, oh my God, they're sharing with Georgia. I was so excited to share it with you.
Yes. Yeah.
It sounds so cute and fun. I think I'm going to get it. It's on sale right now. It's got like a dollar off or something. It's like $8. If, you know, I don't know if you're interested. It seems like lighthearted. It's got old English. I think you can get a pet. It's really cute.
Look, I'm down for any cozy sort of Nintendo Switch game where I can have a pet.
Yeah. Like,
I'm in.
I'm saying another one the one I was trying to think of to recommend to you is Strange Horticulture. It's like a witchy, ooh, like you kind of solve a mystery and there are plants, like people come up to you. I actually got Jen on this one. People come up to you with their ills or whatever issue and they're like, I need a plant that can do this. And then you have to look through your book and figure out which plant to recommend them.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, I'm gonna have to check that one out as well.
Yeah, it's super relaxing and, like, very chill.
I like the chill games. I like the chill and cozy games, so thank you. Wow. Okay, well, I will appreciate that. And I'm going to have to, since I moved, I'm not sure where my Nintendo Switch is, but I'm going to have to, like, go find it because I need to get these games.
I think this is on Steam as well, if you're into that.
Awesome. Yes. Well, and okay, one last recommendation from me that is not a book, and then I will be done. But if you also are looking for something that's like YA adjacent, something to watch, this came out a couple years ago, but I do recommend the Fear Street trilogy. It's a trilogy of movies on Netflix, and it's adapted from R.L. Stine's Fear Street, which was a YA series that came out like in the 90s. And I honestly did not read the original Fear Street books, but I'd watched the show or the movies, and they're really like, if you like campy YA horror, like this is really fun. I really liked them. Each movie is set in like a different time period, 94, 78, and then 1666. But they are all connected through time and place and characters, and I've really enjoyed them. Like they were not too scary for me. So if you want something fun to watch this spooky season, there you are.
That sounds so cool. It came out in 2021. I didn't even hear about it. Oh, wow. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. They released like all three movies within like a few, like a month or a few weeks of each other. So it was kind of fun. But yeah, I highly recommend all three. You have to watch them in order. So watch 94 first, 1994, then watch, you know, 1978 and then 1666. So, but yeah, I've really enjoyed them and I kind of want to rewatch them again this October.
That sounds good. I might join you.
Yay. All right. Well, that is it for us this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And, you know, feel free to leave us feedback on the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Let us know how we're doing. Helps others find us. And of course, you can always email us directly at heyya@bookriot.com. And don't forget to visit bookriot.com for newsletters, more podcasts, all things bookish, and mytbr.co for our TBR service. Thanks again to today's sponsors for making the show possible. And thank you as always to our amazing, awesome, brilliant audio editor, Jen Zink. You can follow me on Instagram. I hang out at Tears of Price. What about you, Erica?
I'm on Twitter at Erica _EZE_.
No shade. Well, no shade whatsoever. Well, we are going to go off and enjoy the season, but we will be back to bring you more fun book stuff in 2 weeks. Until then, happy reading.